Never can I forget the melting I had in reading this letter. I had to put it down 3 or 4 times before I could get through it. Never was my heart so broken in reading a letter in all my life. And my dear wife and 2 daughters that are home, I do not know which of them wept the most. Oh, the kindness, the love, and the feeling that my dear brother Triggs manifested to one so unworthy. It knit my soul to him in a moment, and we were one spirit. Scores of times has my soul begged the best of blessings to rest upon him and his. As soon as we could, we procured his discharge, and the poor prodigal returned home, and a hearty welcome he had. And I soon found the work was of God, and that the lion could lie down with the lamb, and the little child could lead him. Poor thing, he was sorely chastened out of God's law for weeks after he got home. But the Lord in tender mercy broke his bonds asunder in his own time, and brought him to hear and feel the joyful tidings of a free and full forgiveness of all his cursed abominations through the application of the precious blood of Christ to his soul. And he knew what it was to sing with delight and joy, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." O, how my soul did rejoice and thank and adore my God when I heard of the glad tidings that God had visited him with peace and pardon. He walked for a short time at large, and on April 29th I baptized him with some others, and truly I felt it an affecting time, and so did many others. I believe amongst about 900 people and that were there were few with a dry cheek, and to this day I am fully satisfied that the work is of God. Oh, the wonder-working God for such a worm as I! Never, I think, had I a sorer trouble, heavier conflicts with the devil, nor was I ever deeper sunk at times in despair, and never had I more transporting joy and clearer discovery how God had answered my poor prayers in all my life. Oh, what a wonder-working God is our God! He can turn what we fear will be the greatest curse into the greatest blessing, the barren wilderness into a fruitful field, a dungeon into a palace, a miserable, sorrowful night into a glorious morning, frowns into smiles, starvation and famishing into feasting. Never can I, at times, when the dear Comforter brings it to my remembrance, forget the wonders and glories of God, who has caused it to work together for my soul's good and the eternal salvation of the lad. It is that crowns the whole, and my poor soul has sung scores of times since the lad has come home. Crown him, Lord of all. Oh, what sweetness it is when we can give him glory. My poor soul could not help times and times breaking out and singing with the poet, "Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God my Savior and my King, while with his saints I join to tell my Jesus has done all things well. How sovereign, wonderful, and free is all his love to sinful me. He plucked me as a brand from hell. My Jesus has done all things well. And since my soul has known his love, what mercies has he made me prove? Mercies which all my praise excel. My Jesus has done all things well. Bless his dear name. He cannot do wrong. Let unbelief say what it will. Infinite wisdom cannot err. neither can boundless love and mercy be unkind. This I have proved for nearly 24 years at Trowbridge, and out of all my troubles, trials, miseries, griefs, and sorrows, God has delivered me, not because I have been so faithful, watchful, humble, and obedient, for I speak it to my shame, never a more disobedient wretch the Lord has in his family. All the numbers of times I have believed that my cursed rebellion had so greatly provoked the dear Lord, that he never could bear with me much longer, nor would ever help me more. But bless his precious name. Though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so I have proved for 24 years that the precious words that nailed me at Trowbridge came from God. Abide in this city, for I have much people here. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. The gold and silver are mine. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy water shall be sure. So that I can say to the honor of my God, that to this day he has fulfilled his promises to the very letter. Not one good thing has failed me of all that ever he hath said unto me. It is all come to pass, notwithstanding all the opposition I have met with from men and from devils. And here I am, a poor helpless worm, confident of this one thing, that it is by having obtained the help of God that I continue unto this day. And I have ever found to the present hour, when my soul has been helped to cast all its burden upon the Lord, he has sustained me. But whenever I have been leaning to an arm of flesh, I have been disappointed. And I cannot help mentioning one circumstance which strikes my mind that happened before I began to preach. I had a very kind friend who had often helped me in my distress, one who knew the Lord and had never denied me a favor in time of need, so that I considered him a sure place to take shelter in a time of particular need in Providence. We were one day stuck fast till I had got my work out, and I set off to borrow 7 shillings of him till I had finished my work, having no doubt that he would lend it to me, and that we should have a sweet conversation in the bargain of the precious things of God. But when I came to ask him the favor, he was very cross, and told me he could not keep on lending me the money, and he was afraid I was leaning upon him, and he did not feel his mind at liberty to do it. Oh, what a knock-down blow was this! I crept out of the house like a thief, with my poor soul broken to pieces, and into the fields I got, where I roared like a bear. Now, says the devil, it is all over. You have not won a bit of bread in the house. God has left you, and the children of God have turned their backs upon you, and for they see through you, that you are nothing but a mumping hypocrite, making a profession of religion for a crust of bread. I felt as if I must sink into despair. O Lord, cried my soul, I know not what to do. And oh, how sweet and glorious did these words sound in my heart. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I dropped down on my knees and cried out, Dear Lord, what a fool I am. I have been throwing the net on the wrong side. Why, dear Lord, I see thou art the right side. And how sweetly did he speak with a smile. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and for he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Oh, what blessed satisfaction and peace did I feel in leaning and trusting to the Lord. And I could and did sing unto the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. If I recollect aright, the day after my friend came to acknowledge his fault, and he said, He could not think how it was that he could be so unfeeling and treat me so very ill. I told him the cause was in myself, and that I had been casting the net on the left side of the ship, and mentioned to him the blessing the Lord had made it to my soul. Oh, at times I have been in similar trials, when these words have been a blessing to my soul, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I never found it fail yet, and when the dear Comforter brings to my remembrance the wondrous kindness he has done for us as a church and people at Trowbridge for these 24 years, I am constrained to cry out, "What hath God wrought?" For our chapel has cost us upwards of £1,800. If I am not mistaken, I have begged out of our church and congregation about £545, and for 2 or 3 of these last years, and we have had £200 debt remaining. But this year we have entered into a subscription amongst ourselves to clear off the £200, and we have already got considerably above £100, and have every prospect that the rest will be obtained before the end of the year. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It is astonishing what God can do by the most unlikely of means. I have had to endure all sorts of reports, and some have said that I have been trying to get the chapel out of debt, that I might have it for my own private property, and I have been told there are some who believe this report to be true. Well, it is of little consequence what these poor creatures believe as respects poor unworthy me, but I have no more power over the chapel as private property than our pew opener, nor half so much, and for he is one of the trustees and I am not. Neither have I ever wished it nor ever desired it. The chapel belongs to the church forever, as freehold property that can never be sold or even mortgaged. I am confident of it, that whilst I have any work to do at Trowbridge, there I must abide. But sometimes I do verily think my work is done at Trowbridge, and it appears to me that I have preached all the people as dead and as barren as myself, and I have really thought that they would be glad to get rid of me. Sometimes I have tried to get out of them if this was not the case, but as yet they do not say it is, and here I am, after all the loving kindness and tender mercies of a covenant God, as poor and helpless, as weak and worthless, as ever I was in my life, a poor pauper upon the tender mercy of God from day to day, a poor sinner, saved by grace, who has nothing else to boast of save the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all my life long to the present moment. Oh, the times I have feared I should never see the day that I could pay my debts. But blessed be my covenant God, I have lived to see it, and proved that not one good thing of all that he ever promised has failed, nor ever will fail. Oh, the sweet moments I had enjoyed at times when the dear Comforter is pleased to bring to my remembrance the tender mercies which he has caused to pass before me in the way. I can then say with confidence, "The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad." Oh, the many precious times I have had in blessing and thanking my dear Lord for his providing, upholding, supplying, defending, and delivering mercies to one so very feeble and helpless, surrounded with enemies on the right hand and on the left, who have been for years so anxiously watching and waiting for my halting. But hitherto God has preserved me, to the no small mortification of some poor things, who have many, very many times been the means in the hand of my God to send me to a throne of grace, that God would teach me, guide me, and preserve me in my goings out and comings in, so that I might have grace and strength given me every moment, and be enabled so to act, walk, and speak, that the uncircumcised might not have it to say, "Ah, ah, so would we have it. And bless the Lord, he has preserved me to the present day, and though not from the noise of their tongues, for this they use very freely and not sparingly. But this I trouble myself nothing about. It is but an empty noise, and I have ever proved that the curse causeless will not come. A good conscience is a sweet and comfortable companion to go to bed with. Oh, that my poor soul may ever be favored with godly fear and sweet exercise, that my soul may live and serve God with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, and that I may ever be preserved from revenge. For the Lord saith, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Oh, what a sweet companion is godly fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way doth he hate. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. By the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. O my dear Lord, grant me much of this godly fear and exercise in my poor soul, that I may daily be afraid of offending thee, and that my conscience may be kept very tender. O that I might honor thee more, love thee more, and live more to thy glory. I blush before thee, and hide my guilty head at my base ingratitude, cursed unbelief, wretched wanderings, hardness of heart, that I have been and still am the subject of, notwithstanding all the loving kindness and tender mercies which thou hast bestowed upon one so unworthy. O, let thy grace be sufficient for me, and that I may war a good warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that I may endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that the weapons of my warfare may not be carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.